This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're happy you could join us on today's program. You've heard the statement that Jesus made that the poor will always be with you. Well, I want to make another statement today. Problems will always be in the Church of God. You can go through the Bible and you will find that there were issues that the Church of God during New Testament times was experiencing. You can read church history and you will see there were divisions, there were arguments, there was debate within the Church of God as it moves through the centuries. And as we look at the Church of God today in the modern age, we see problems with the Church of God. We see people who claim to be Christian broken into hundreds of different denominations. And within those various denominations, there are breakups of even more of a degree than that original breakup that particular denomination experienced. Why all of this disunity? Why all of these issues, arguments, and problems within the church? Well, one thing we can get from Scripture is through the struggle that you go through in life, you learn a lot and you build character. So that's one thing to keep in mind. But when we look back at the problems that the early New Testament church was having, we can see and learn some things in how to deal with problems in this modern age of the church. When you look around today, you see various problems within the church. You see problems of leadership. You see cliques. Some individuals like this speaker better. Other individuals like that particular speaker better. People are arguing over the type of music that should be played at church, the type of worship, how emotional people are at church, or how unemotional people are at church. There are all these various issues in regards to worship today about a church and how it should be operating. And of course, we see problems with immorality. We see sexual issues and sexual problems hitting the headlines of our newspapers in regards to church leadership and individuals within various churches. Now, is any of this new? It actually is not new. It's been going on for the last 2,000 years since the beginning of the Church of God. In the pages of your Bible, you will see information on these types of things. And we're going to learn today how Paul dealt with some of these issues with the Corinthian church. So that is where we're going to be heading into today's program. And along the way, we will be looking at some facts about the Corinthian church. Who were these people? What were they doing? And did that have any impact on why they had the problems that they had? We're also going to look a little bit at the authorship of the books of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians as we move along and progress in looking at this discussion today about problems within the modern day church and what we can learn from the early New Testament church in dealing with those particular problems. Before we do any of that, what I'd like to do is offer you some free literature and also a free CD on today's program. The literature we'd like to offer you today is titled Paul and the Law, Understanding the Hard Sayings. Many of the Apostle Paul's statements about the law may seem confusing, even contradictory, but with one simple and often overlooked key, you will see that the hard sayings of Paul's epistles are not hard at all. We'd also like to offer you the CD titled, Why Do Christians Have Problems? Many people believe that when they become Christians, all their problems are going to disappear. This is not the case. The Bible is very clear that you may actually have an increase in problems when you become a Christian, and you need to learn about this and understand why that is. Please get Paul and the Law, Understanding the Hard Sayings, and also the CD, Why Do Christians Have Problems? To get both of these items free of charge, you can call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or visit our website, www.cgi.org. Go to the link for Contact Us. And again, that's www.cgi.org. Also on our website, you can view live webcasted sermons each Saturday. Go to the website to find out the times, www.cgi.org. Welcome back, everyone. I'm glad you're joining us on today's program. And those of you who are just tuning in to today's program, what we're going to be discussing today are problems in the church. Now, looking at problems in the church today, we might have some evidence of how to deal with those problems if we go back to the pages of your New Testament and see how various problems were dealt with back in the time of the early New Testament church. We're going to be focusing today on 1 Corinthians, and we may touch briefly on the book of 2 Corinthians. Both of them were written by the Apostle Paul. What I'd like to do before we get into the specific problems that the Corinthian church was experiencing, I want to talk a little bit about the church at Corinth, a little bit about the background and what was happening at that time and place in history. Now, if you go back a couple thousand years ago and you locate the city of Corinth, the city of Corinth sits on an isthmus, and to the left of the city was the Ionian Sea. It actually was right on the city port. And to the right of the city was the Aegean Sea. So this was an important port city within the Roman Empire. Only 45 miles northeast of Corinth was the city of Athens. And a lot of the commerce that would move onto the area that is modern day Greece today would pass through this city of Corinth. So there were a lot of different ideas, philosophies that were passing through this city as people moved back and forth throughout the Roman Empire. Another important thing was that this particular city held the Isthmian Games before the Olympics and right after the Olympics. So these games were, again, a major sporting event to the people at that time, and sports was a big deal to those people in that particular location. Another thing to recognize about the city of Corinth was there was a major place where the goddess Aphrodite was worshipped. And in the worship of Aphrodite, temple prostitution was employed. So this city had a liberal mindset when you look at some of the things that were done in worshiping this particular goddess. And that's important to keep in mind as we look at specifically one of the problems that we're going to deal with that the Corinthians were having at this particular time. Now, Paul arrived in Corinth around 50 AD, and he began to preach in Corinth, and he started a church in this city. What then happened is Paul continued on his missionary journey, and later on, Paul finds out there are problems and issues with this church, and he writes a letter back to them, and that is the book of 1 Corinthians that we were going to be dealing with mostly on today's program. But I just want to show you a little evidence that Paul was in Corinth, and we can turn to the book of Acts to see that. So let's turn over to Acts chapter 18, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 1 there. It says, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. So we can see here that there were Jews in this particular city, as well as the local population, the Gentile Greeks, who were there. Paul was preaching and teaching there, and then he left town. The church began in Corinth, and that's where we run into some of the issues that we're going to read about in the book of 1 Corinthians. But before we actually look at some specific issues that can help us deal with issues today in the church, I'd like to talk briefly about the authorship of 1 and 2 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians is believed to be written by the Apostle Paul. All scholars, or most scholars, are in agreement on that. You can see as you read through Corinthians that it deals with issues. There seems to be an order, an organization to the writing, and most agree that Paul did write that 1 Corinthians. Some disagreement arises when we look at 2 Corinthians. I believe Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, but some argue that 2 Corinthians may be a compilation of a couple various letters that Paul wrote. There seems to be a little more choppiness to the writing, and specifically in chapters 1 through 7, Paul seems to be having a theme of peaceful reconciliation with the Corinthians, but in chapters 8 through 10, he seems to turn his tone up a little bit, getting angry with the Corinthians about them preferring rival teachers to him. Now, once again, the theme is similar, though, throughout 2 Corinthians. There is a theme of reconciliation throughout the whole book. And once again, most believe that 2 Corinthians was written by Paul, and many believe he may have written it all at one time also. So just a little bit about the background of these two books, the first and second books of Corinthians. And now what we're going to do is we're specifically going to look at some of the problems that this church was having. And how was Paul dealing with these problems? And what can we learn from how he dealt with these problems for us today in dealing with the problems we have in churches? And we're going to continue to have problems until Jesus returns to this earth. So it's a good idea to understand how to deal with those issues and problems. The first problem I'd like to address is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to pick it up there in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 3. It says, "For one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." What's the problem here? There seems to be a clique for Paul in this Corinthian church. Some people like Paul better than the other people who are teaching and preaching to them. Then there's a clique for this man named Apollos, who was a teacher in that early church. And what Paul is telling them is, hey, that's carnal to get down into, I like this guy better than that guy. What's most important here is understanding that God is using both me and Apollos for the work of the church. In verse 7, he says this, "So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." So what he's saying, when it comes down to it, God is the one in authority here. God is deciding how his church is going to work, who's going to work in his church, and how business is going to get done. And so understanding that God is in charge, you're going to get off your carnality about playing favorites and things of that nature, which can cause dissension in a church, which can lead to turmoil in a church and can break down the unity of a church. In verse 8 he says, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So again, the point he's trying to make here is, you know, when you're building a church, when you're building a community, there are various people that are going to get involved. There are various people who have talents and gifts that can help that community grow and prosper. But in the end, the foundation of all of that is Jesus Christ. And what Jesus Christ taught, what Jesus Christ believed, and how Jesus Christ would want you to operate within that particular community. And we know that's from the love standard. We know in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul speaks to us about love. It's not just a feeling. It's not just an emotion. It's a commitment. It's a choice you make to live life in a certain way. And that has to be paramount rather than getting down into the gutter in our carnality, playing favorites, having issues over who's doing this and who's doing that. You got to let that go and start being more spiritually minded. So as a church today, I think we can learn a lot from Paul's example here when he's dealing with this particular issue within the Corinthian church. Another problem that we find within the Corinthian church that Paul had to address was immorality. And we can read about this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as it not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. So what's happening here? Somebody's involved in some sexual issues that they should not be involved in within this church, and no one is doing anything about it. No one seems to have talked to this individual to tell him, hey, this isn't the way you need to act. As a Christian, God's law is very specific on what our sexual mores should be, and this fellow was not following that example. But Paul is also concerned with the fact that no one is taking him to task, no one is talking to this individual about this particular issue. Now, as we move forward in this same chapter, let's drop down to verse 11. It says, but now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves that wicked person. So what Paul is saying here, he's not saying that a drunkard can't come to church, but he's saying that someone who gets drunk needs to stop drinking and start attending church. And if they continue to fall down, if they aren't going to get help, if they aren't going to follow what God's way is, then you need to separate yourself from that behavior, because that behavior can lead other people to think that that behavior is okay for them. A little leaven can leaven that whole lump. And here we see that Paul is saying you've got to judge the people within the church. There are standards we need to recognize. There are issues we need to deal with within our communities. And if we're not dealing with these issues, we're not following the dictates of this religion that we are a part of. Another thing that he mentions in the next chapter, the importance of why this was a big problem. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to pick it up in verse 17. It says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So if you are getting involved in sexual immorality, if you are committing adultery, if you are fornicating, you are not following the proper form of religion here that God wants you to follow, because if He's given you that Holy Spirit can't be getting involved in sinful action as God defines it within the words of His Bible. Another point that needs to be made here is that there were issues also in the church with worship. Again, we've had issues with sexuality within the church. We've seen our headlines splash with this type of issue. And what Paul is saying here is you need to have a higher standard than the rest of the world when it comes to these sexual issues. And if people are not doing that within the church, we need to talk to them, set them, and get them on the right path. And if they aren't going to follow that path, we need to separate from them. Another issue that comes up is worship or forms of worship within this community in Corinth. You find a number of things that Paul says about this. I'm just going to touch on one of them today. This is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And what he's dealing with here is this gift of tongues that some had in the early New Testament church. Now notice what he has to say about this beginning in verse 6. He has more to say. We're not going to be able to address it all. But in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 14, "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air." So he's saying if you're going to speak in tongues, it's important. It's important that people understand what you have to say. Let me pick it up here in verse 11. "Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret." So what's he saying here? He's saying, hey, if you guys are going to be speaking in tongues, make sure someone understands what is being said so it can edify everybody. If someone is just up there speaking in a foreign language that no one understands, how is that helping out anyone else in the church? It's drawing attention to that particular person, and that's getting a little carnal if you want to draw attention to yourself. We want to make sure that we can edify the church as a body, and that can help us understand how to use these spiritual gifts that God may have given to us. Now, he talks a lot more about tongues in other places. We don't have enough time to address that. But when we look at this question of tongues today, we see many churches who focus exclusively or to a great degree on whether or not people have the gift of tongues. And again, I've been to some of these places, and I've seen people speaking in tongues, and I could not understand what was being uttered. How is that edifying the church? Let's look at what Paul has to say here. It can help us understand how we deal with gifts and how we deal with forms of worship in today's church. One other point I'd like to make over here in 1 Corinthians is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is talking about spiritual gifts here, and he's talking about unity and diversity. And right about in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12, he begins to talk about the body. And he says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So as you go through here, you're going to read more about the unity of this body. There are differences with this body. A hand is different from a foot, an eye is different from an ear. But each of these things working together as a whole can really produce something and do something. And God is telling his church that. He's saying there's going to be differences among you. You are different people, but each of you working together can grow and learn as a whole. But as we begin to have disunity in the church, when we break apart over trivial issues, we are not seeing the strength of that body working together to overcome and understand these differences. Even the weak can help the strong understand things, as the strong can bring along the weak. So we all work together as one body is what Paul has to say here. This is a scripture that deals with unity. And as we look at the church today, we see a lot of disunity. In my church tradition of the churches of God, there has been a lot of disunity, and it's over trivial matters. Many of us within the church of God believe the same things, but due to trivial matters, we have broken apart in various ways. These types of things should not stand in God's church. We need to come together and grow together as a church. So I want to thank you for joining us on today's edition of the Armor of God. We've looked closely at 1 Corinthians. We mentioned a little bit about 2 Corinthians. And what I wanted to emphasize today was what we can learn about the problems that the early New Testament church was experiencing and how we can deal with those problems, those same or similar problems, in today's church. I want you to put on the whole armor of God so you can stand in that evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the Armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The Armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.